is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Church of the Open Door. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Allison Krauss with I'd Rather Have Jesus, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
To be a king of the best. That's why Paul says in the Bible that, you know, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in you. See, the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus are, well, they're three in one, I guess you could say, right? There are three and they're one. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, when you sin, when you do something bad, something unrighteous, something ungood, I could say ungood. Is there a word like that? I'm not sure. The Holy Spirit grieves for you. Did you ever think of that? When you sin, the Holy Spirit in you, if you're a Christian, grieves. Can you imagine that? Because Jesus said that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that's the kingdom of God, is in you. Now, I believe in a real heaven out there. I do. I think when we die, we're going to go there if we're a Christian. If not, there's another place. And I'll talk about that in future weeks. I don't want you to go there. I don't. But you may think that God is not with you, but he's with you everywhere you go because he's inside your heart. He knows what you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're going to do, and what you've done. So, you know, that is, in effect, the church of the open door, because you have opened a door to him at one time in your life, if you're a Christian, and he has entered in that door. You are, in fact, the church of the open door. Now, you may not consider yourself a church building. You may not consider yourself holy, but if you know Christianity and you know Jesus, you are holy. The Holy Spirit is in you. And it grieves if you do unrighteousness. You know, my brother, Troy, I have two brothers. One's alive, one passed away some years ago at age 56. But he told me that one day, I think he was in his late 20s, he and his wife had had an argument, and they were, you know, he was really feeling bad, and he went out driving, and he went down the freeway in Beaumont, Texas, and he didn't know what to do. He was just so distraught, so upset, some things had happened in his marriage, and he saw a light down the highway, and there was a large church there. It was called Cathedral in the Pines, and it had a light on, but there was no cars outside, and he pulled up in the driver's, the lot there, parking lot. And he hadn't been at a church, I guess, for 20 years. But he was drawn into that church. And he got out of his car and he went, and the door was open. They had a little sign on it that says, "We open this chapel so that anybody may come in and pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week." Boy, you don't see that much anymore. But there it was, right off the freeway, the Cathedral of the Pines. And my brother Troy went in and he got on his knees in the pew and he prayed. And he accepted Jesus. Nobody told him to. But God was with him that day. He's with him every day, but especially that day. That was the church of the open door. We don't have churches like that now. In fact, many churches are switching over and becoming Islamic mosques. They're taking Baptist churches. They're taking Methodist churches, and they're turning them into Islamic mosques across America as church attendance has died out. And you go to small towns, and these churches, well, they're boarded up. Nobody goes there anymore. In fact, in the large cities, nobody goes to the large churches, except maybe to dress up and show all their furs and jewelry and things like that, you know. You know, this church of the open door, I discovered that there was a church in Los Angeles called the Church of the Open Door. And my wife, Wanda, you know, she lived in California for a while, and she was telling me about that church. She said it was right in downtown Los Angeles, and it had a big sign, a big sign. It was an old church, you see, a huge church. And it was right in downtown on Hope Street. What a name. H-O-P-E Street. And the Church of the Open Door had a huge sign that said, Jesus Saves. A neon sign. Boy, that must have captured people's attention there in Los Angeles downtown to have a big sign up, up in the sky. Because this was a tall building. Skyscraper. It said, Jesus Saves. And I was asking her recently, tell me a little bit about that Church of the Open Door. She says, well, they don't have it anymore. I don't know. She says it became part of a Biola Bible College. But I don't know what happened to the church. It's not there anymore. And I decided to do some research on that. I wanted to know about the Church of the Open Door. And I found out that it opened up in, well, let's see, 1913. And it was in existence for 70 years. And they had a fine old pastor there. By the way, it was a fundamentalist church because they believed in the fundamentals of the Bible. That's all that meant. 4,000 seats. 4,000. And they say it was full at one time. People would drive downtown and go there. And it was a Bible church. They really believed in the Bible. I'm still thinking back to that Jesus Saves. Can you imagine in Los Angeles downtown, up way up in the sky, Jesus Saves, a big neon sign? Oh, that's all right, isn't it? It really is. Hey, they had a pastor there. His name was J. Vernon McGee. Now, you know, it might be that J. Vernon McGee, he died many years ago, but I think he might still be on the radio sometime. They still play his old radio programs. I remember about 20 years ago, I heard a few while I was out traveling, and the guy had a strange voice. He said, this is J. Vernon McGee, Church of the Open Door. And I thought, But he died for many years, but he was such a good pastor that they kept playing his sermons on tape, on the radio. Well, McGee, J. Vernon McGee was his name. I remember that sermon, he said something funny. He said, as I was driving down the road to listen to him, he said that when the Equal Rights Amendment came out, you know, for women, he said he'd heard about it and didn't much appreciate it because, you know, the things that it said. But he said he always wore a hat. You know, back then people wore hats. And when he would go in some place, there were women there, he would always take his hat out to them. He was a gentleman, you see. He said he went in a building one time, and he went in the elevator, and he took his hat off. And going up the elevator with him were these two women, and boy, they were feminists. And they were just mouthing off about the Equal Rights Amendment or something. He listened just a quick second or two, and then he just put his hat back on. He said, that's the first time I ever wore my hat with women in the room. In an elevator with two feminists. Well, in any case, that was J. Vernon McGee. Now, the church closed down, evidently, in 1985. I think it is here. 1985, it closed down. And they sold it to a guy named Gene Scott. Now, I'm laughing because I know Gene Scott. You see, when I began this ministry, I went on the road and with Wanda, and we'd turn on TV and look for Christian programs. And there, it seemed like every city we went to, there was Gene Scott from Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles. Boy, that guy was a crank. He had a beard. You know, back then they didn't have beards, but he had one. And I was going along down the road, and he was preaching on the Apostle Paul. I said, well, that's nice. I don't know who this guy is, this Pastor Gene Scott. And he read this, and he says, wasn't that Paul a jerk? I said, I thought, what? Yeah, he was a jerk. And he went on to explain why he thought he was a jerk. Seemed that Gene Scott, you know, about half believed in the Bible and believed in half in his own theology. And he was crazy. And sometimes he would start a church service, they say. And he would preach for hours and just make up stuff as he went along and didn't have any, you know, any written lecture. But he would just make up, then he would turn to this thing, and he would turn to that. And they say he had a lot of knowledge, but he was sort of crazy. And he would tell people, listen, I need money. If you don't send me $500 in the next 5 minutes, he'd say, you know, call our, you know, 1-800 number here. I'm going to keep preaching. Now, if you'll send that money, I'll stop preaching. If you want me to stop. But until you send me the money, I won't. I'm going to keep preaching. I thought that was unusual. I mean, anybody could just reach over and turn off the radio knob. But he said, I'm going to keep preaching until I get the money I want. And he was a painter. He painted things, and he had this artwork, and he would say, I'm selling you one of my personal paintings today. Now, the church isn't going to get a cent out of this. This is my paintings. So if you want one of my paintings, send, well, he said, let's see, at least $300 for it. And he said, I'm going to preach today till I sell this painting. I thought the guy was a crank. Well, in any case, then comes an earthquake. They had an earthquake in Whittier, California, out of L.A., but it did some damage in Los Angeles, and it basically destroyed that church. And I've always liked to think maybe God had a hand in that. Here was this crank who believed that Paul was a jerk. And, of course, his sermons were absolutely crazy. He believed the pyramid was built by God and all kinds of things like that. The great pyramid, you know, in Egypt. But there the earthquake came and the people, you know, the safety people came out in the fire department. And after the earthquake, they said, this church is so old and now it's all beat up, this earthquake, and it should not be rebuilt. So Gene Scott had to move out. Now, that earlier church had moved out in 1985, and Gene Scott took over. And in any case, he had to move after the earthquake. Now, again, that was probably God's doing. Now, there are a lot of churches of the open door. I was looking on Google, you know, on the internet. There's a church of the open door in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. There's another one in York, New York. Then there's Connellsville, Pennsylvania. All of these, I don't think they're related to each other, but they're called the Church of the Open Door. There's another one in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. And then finally, there's one in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Church of the Open Door. Now, I'd like to tell you about my own experience. You see, when I was young, we would sometimes go to Beaumont, which was about 10 miles from us. We'd drive to Beaumont. My dad would drive, and we would, when we got to the city of Beaumont, we went around a little street. I forget the name of the street, but it was right on the river, on the Neches River. And on the left was the river, and on the right was a park, a city park. I don't know the name of that park, but they had a church there. You know, nowadays you can't build a church in a city park. You know, the atheists and the Satanists and all of it come out and say, oh, you're using city land. Now, I think that somebody donated that parkland way, way back. And, of course, this was about 1948, 1950. And I'd see this brick church. It was maybe 200 or 300 seat church right in the park. And I looked and it had a sign that said Church of the Open Door. That was the name of the church. And, you know, there would always be, they had a little basketball court right beside it, and always be some young kids there playing basketball. Well, back in Port Neches, we didn't have any basketball courts. We didn't have anything, of course. And I thought, Church of the Open Door. So I asked my dad, I said, what is that church? What denomination or whatever? He said, well, son, that's non-denominational. Anybody can go there. I said, really? Could I go there? He said, yeah, you could go there if we went to church, but of course we didn't go to church. I said, what do they do? He says, well, they really do a lot of things for the poor. You can go there if you need clothes. They have some clothes they'll give you. They have food they'll give you. I said, you mean those young boys playing basketball there? They're poor kids. He says, oh yeah, they probably went there to get clothes and everything. It's right downtown. You know, he's a lot, everybody here is poor. And I think they built that church there for the poor. Somebody donated it, that church, to the city. I got to thinking about it. You know, I was poor. I would like to have had some clothes. And I thought, boy, someday maybe I'll drive here when I can drive, and I'll drive my car up, and maybe they'll give me some clothes. You see, I only had, I had two shirts and one pair of jeans. That's it. And I had some shoes, and they didn't fit. That's all I had. I'd have to wash them by hand, you know, when they got dirty, and iron them myself. But that's all I had. And then later on, I only had one shirt and one pair of old jeans. That's all I had. And I thought, boy, if I could get some of those clothes. And I knew they were used clothes, but if I could just stop by that church, maybe they would have a suit of clothes for me.
Now, folks, if you haven't been poor, you may not understand what I'm saying. But in any case, we were very poor. In fact, I didn't drink milk other than baby's milk till I was about 6 years old. And a milkman came by. And my dad seemed to have a little extra money, and he bought a gallon of milk. That was the old milk, you know, it had cream on the top. And we all sit around the table, and he poured each of us a glass of milk. That's the first time I ever remember drinking milk. We mostly ate beans and rice. But that was such a treat to have that milk. And I don't think I had it again until I was about 12 or 13 years of age.
And dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.